Blog Talk Radio.
Grassroots project under the umbrella of Swap East. Pledging Action collects condom donations in the U.S. and mails them to international organizations for distribution. We are currently sending condoms to two organizations servicing sex workers in Santiago, Chile. To find out more about the program and how you can get involved, go to pledgingaction.wordpress.com.
All right, up the hill is Zach and Jill. I am Jill Brenneman. This is XXBN Raleigh Durham. Lots of topics tonight. Joining me in the XXBN studios is the ever-popular Zach. Turn your microphone on, Zach.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Really? Hello?
I can hear you.
Gio. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was making sure you can hear me, because I know the last few times, you have had problems with our mics. I'm making sure you can hear me this time.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. So what's going on?
Just another big day, Zach, you know. You know, it's a big day in North Carolina. We've got the fair, and you know, Zach, I'm ready for the election to be over.
I am too. I really am. You know, after a while, for some people, they eat, sleep, and breathe it. You know, so I am too. I'm getting sick and tired of the he said, she said, they did this, he didn't do that. He used to do this. He came from this. He's really this. You know, it's just all the mudslinging. I mean, there's enough fighting, you know, within our neighborhood to see it in the political Washington D.C. whatever. So yeah, I'm ready for it to be over too.
Well, you know, I mean, so much of it is either stupid or you know, ridiculously inaccurate.
Yeah.
You know, I'm seeing a headline on CNN about a woman that says she's 134 years old.
Who?
That would mean she was born in, 1874.
Whoa. Is she still alive?
She says she is.
She says, well, I guess she is. She says she's still alive.
really tragic breaking news. Up to 50 teens exposed to HIV, high school told. This is just coming across the wire now. Students in a suburban St. Louis, Missouri high school headed to the gymnasium for HIV testing this week after an infected person told officials as many as 50 teenagers might have been exposed to the virus that causes AIDS. Wow.
That's awesome.
So what does the week look like for you, Zach?
Well, you mean the weekend?
Well, you know, last week, this week, the weekend. It's kind of an open book test.
Well, this week for me has been the weekend's up in the air. But this week for me has been it's been okay. You know, at work, you know, I'm still doing my same old thing, just keeping to myself. But this weekend is up in the air because I may go to the state fair again. Not sure. I got to check my change. But however, I did go to the state fair last Sunday, and let me tell you something, Jill. I am so proud of myself because usually, you know, I like going to fairs. You know, I like getting on rides, but sometimes those rides they just do something to me. You know, they go too fast, they go too high. I'm not really scared of heights, but I think what it is, it's just the whole thought of, you know, it's just taking your breath, and then like sometimes I'd be about to go crazy trying to catch my breath and breathe. But no, but this time. Like I went with my best friend, and he'll ride anything, but I rode everything that he rode except for one thing, and that was the Super Loop, which is kind of silly because I never been on the Super Loop in my life, but I didn't get on the Super Loop. However, I got on this roller coaster, that new roller coaster that they got out there, and then I got on that thing called a Fireball that like swings back and forth way up in the air. So I'm thinking, okay, if I can get on this, I might as well go on the Super Loop. Don't ask why. I had a good time, though. I wrote a lot of stuff.
You went last Sunday?
I went last Sunday. Hey, oh yeah, and for all you people,
well, how come
North
I didn't
Carolina,
see you?
Were you there?
Yeah, didn't you see me?
I didn't see you. What time did you go?
I was there from 1 to about 5:30.
That's why we didn't get there to 7.
Well, I'll tell you what, you missed some horrendous crowds. I don't ever remember such a hard crowd to get through. I mean, it was so crowded.
Really? On Sunday?
Yeah. I've gotten onto the subway in Osaka, Japan with less drama than I did in that.
Oh, boy. That's funny. Did you
go by the state police booth on drunk driving?
No, I didn't.
Did they give you these goggles that simulate, like you, I think you blow a .20. I think you're like twice the legal limit or something. Or that's how it feels, these glasses. And then you're supposed to walk this line. I couldn't even find the line with these glasses on. I mean, I don't drink and drive anyway. I don't even drink one and drive because I just, it's not worth the risk.
Right. No, I didn't go past that. However, there were a whole bunch of cops out there, though. Which they better be.
Well, it was cold, too.
Oh, it was very cold. And you know what? We got here about 7-ish, and we stayed to about 11-something. But, you know, at that time, that was kind of a good time to go, you know, for people who don't have to go to work the next morning, because, you know, a lot of people do have to go to work on Monday, so, you know, so it can start clearing out, which means that we were able to get on the rise a lot quicker. So, yeah, that was a good time, but at 7, it was cool, but as it got later and later, it definitely started to get cold and freezing. Oof.
And, you know, it seemed like we didn't have any fall this year in here in Raleigh. You know, it was just, you know, it's like summer. It was like 90 degrees and humid. And then one day, it's over with.
I don't know. But, you know, another thing that I'm curious on, do you know, why is the fair in the fall? I mean, like, why don't they have, like, a fair in the summer? You know, that's when people could really enjoy it with, you know, with good weather instead of trying to be out there freezing. I mean, is there a reason why the fair is in the fall?
I don't know the official reason. I think that it started back with, you know, fairs started like 100 years ago or something. It initially was an agricultural thing, but like you brought all of your crops to the fair, and you know, you got judged on the best crop, and I guess you brought all your cows and all that, and then there's all the animals at the fair. I know they keep moving south. Like if you live in Minnesota, the fair is in the summer. The fair is, I'm thinking, sometime in August in Minnesota. I think it's sometime in August outside of Portland, Oregon, too. I'm trying to remember when I've been to the fair. I think it moves south.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
I guess it. You know, the farther south you go. I'm not sure when the Georgia Fair is or when Florida. I don't even remember if, you know, I lived in Florida, in Jacksonville and Orlando, and I don't even remember there being a fair.
So do you ever ride any of the rides?
I used to. I have had too many concussions at this point in my life to mess with my balance anymore.
Wow. Well, those tickets are ridiculous. Now, one of the hosts, Tommy, from my show, Keeping It Real Hot and Fresh, he's actually in Arizona right now, and he went to Phoenix. He's in Phoenix, Arizona. He went to their state fair, and, you know, like here in Raleigh, you know, you have to buy, you know, the book of tickets to ride the rides. Well, out there, they have, like, this bracelet. You know, you just buy the one-time bracelet for about $25 to $30, and you get to ride unlimited rides. And then, you know, because, see, it's kind of funny because I've always thought about, you know, wonder why Dunn-I State Fair has something like that. I mean, because to me, I think they would have so much more people there, you know, but whenever you buy them tickets, because, see, especially if you don't get them in advance, you know, you go to the fairs, they're like a dollar ticket. So, you know, you get a book of stamps or a book of tickets, 20 tickets for $20, not good. And then, I mean, most of the rides out there are like from 4 to 5 tickets. So, yeah, they need to come up with a bracelet fast.
It's North Carolina, though. I mean, advanced thought is not a big thing here. I mean, this is a state that had Jesse Helms as senator. This is a state that, you know, we were down to what, you know, like 31 days left in the reservoir when they said, geez, we've got a problem, you know, when the drought hit. Well, I guess we should get started on topics. Zach, are you going to go check out the new airport, the new RDU open Saturday?
That'll be a no, because Jill, if you remember from a previous conversation, you know, I don't fly yet.
That's true. You never thought
everybody.
Already.
Yeah, you know. So everybody, don't laugh at me. No, I never flown. I mean, I'm not flown, but ridden a plane. So you know, I'll get there one day. But no, I mean, it's not at the top of my list. But maybe I'll get there one day to go check out the new airport.
If you can ride that, all those rides at the fair, flying is nothing.
That's so true. That's true.
Well, lots of topics.
Be now.
If you would like to join us. 646-200-3136. You can talk about the fair, or you can join us for any number of topics. Tonight we're going to talk about, well, Zach's going to talk about it because I still haven't seen it yet, but Zach watched an episode of The View. And
I did.
But before we start off with our talk about The View, of course, we have to take a look at crime in Central Maine with Mid-Maine Vice. And theme song is so hot. There we go. Why is it like the music never shuts off?
I don't know.
It's like you hit music on the blog talk radio switchboard, and then you hit stop like 12 times.
I tell you, well, blog talk.
Zach, it's kind of a slow crime week in Central Maine. This is the headline, and after reading this headline, I got to tell you. You know, I wasn't there, obviously, but and perhaps, you know, this is all legit and the story is accurate, but I'm going to read this, and you can tell me whether you think the 16-year-old was telling the truth. This comes from the headline of the Waterville, Maine Morning Sentinel. In Montville, Maine, there were minor injuries Sunday afternoon when a 1987 Hyundai driven by a 16-year-old struck a tree and rolled onto its side on Penny Road. Chief Deputy Robert Keating of the Waldo County Sheriff's Department said Monday that Tyler S. Turner was driving the vehicle. Keating said that Tyler S. Turner told him that he tried to avoid hitting a dog by applying his emergency brake, and that the car skidded off the road and hit a tree. Dylan Smith, 14 years old, and Logan Jewett, 12 years old, were passengers in the car. Keating said he did not have information on the injury. That story doesn't add up to me.
Well, I know you're not finished, are you?
That's it.
That was it.
But let me ask you something, Zach. I mean, does this not sound like a kid who crashed the car into a tree and made up a story to explain why?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't apply the emergency brake. The emergency brake doesn't stop the car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if
yeah.
you're driving, you throw the emergency brake on when you're driving. I mean, it's park brake. It's more so the car doesn't roll backwards down the hill, not...
Yeah, not to stop the car.
Not to stop. And, you know, granted, maybe, you know, because they call it an emergency break, and he was having an emergency, but that just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Zach, have you ever had to stop short in the car? What happens if anything? If it's a stick shift, you stall it because you don't think in time to press the clutch in, because instinctively you hit the brake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you ever hit the brake too hard because you thought something ran in front of you or your car stopped?
Yeah, I have. I think I did it today. Yeah.
But have you ever mistakenly grabbed the emergency brake?
I can't say that I have done that. No.
Now, my second question about this story, and maybe Maine has different laws. I don't know what the laws are in Maine, but I know in North Carolina, like, a 16-year-old can't be driving a 14 and a 12-year-old. Like, there's some graduated license. You know, you have to be, like, 17 before you can drive by yourself.
I know, and he was 16.
But, you know, he crashed into a tree and rolled it over, and he said that the reason for that is because a dog ran in front of him. And I mean, that's everybody's. That's what you say, you know, if you crash the car, or you know, if somebody's tailgating you and you decide to hit the brakes and you know, they run into the back of you, you say, well, you know, I slammed on the brakes because I hit it because a dog ran in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, that's an excuse. It's always an excuse. I don't buy this story, but that's the headline from the Waterville, Maine Morning Sentinel from Monday.
Oh boy, yeah, he needs to be more worried about explaining why he's driving. I'm pretty sure he don't have a license, and even if he got a permit, you supposed to have a parent or somebody with you. He has a lot to explain.
Yeah. Well, Zach, what do you think? You know, getting off the Maine Vice topic. There's a lot of discussion about Sarah Palin and the Republican Party spending $150,000 for her.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Are you really going to ask me that, Jim? Because you know I can't shut up, especially whenever it comes to money like that. Let me tell you something.
You know, the only thing I have to say, you know, it's been documented on this show that I don't care for Sarah Palin's viewpoints. I don't really care for her public persona. This whole I'm a Walmart hockey mom from Wasilla.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of doesn't jive with the Walmart Wasilla Alaska hockey mom to be having $150,000 worth of, you know, designer clothing. But that being said, I guess the question asks, you know. Yeah, a month ago or so, we did a show on what happens if men do anything gay. But, you know, my question is she being unfairly judged? And are women unfairly judged on appearance?
Yeah, they are. However, let me just break it down to this $150,000, though. She might, I mean, yeah, she's definitely in the public, so I'm pretty sure she wants to look nice and play the part. However, what she did was she spent about $50,000 at Saks. She spent about $75,000 at Neiman Marcus. And then she did, I think, about $4,716 in hair and makeup. Now, yeah, women, they are just a little bit harsher about their looks. However, you don't need to be shopping at Saks and Neiman Marcus just to look great. I mean, let me tell you something, Target and The Gap, yeah, you can look good there too. But, you know, it's funny, you know, whenever we hear that she's spending this much money, because didn't they get on Obama about his $3 million in advertisement, which taxpayers gave him that money to advertise. I mean, but at least he put in advertisement. She put her money in clothes and makeup and hair.
Well, I think one of the things that you'll see coming out of this is next year you will see suits like she wears, you know, with the you know, kind of the tailored suit with a skirt type
yeah.
thing. I think that will end up being a style. You know, I think that women get judged harshly in terms of that. You know, I mean, everybody talked about, you know, Hillary just, you know, always wore pants.
She's my home.
Yeah. But that being, so you know, I don't necessarily fault Sarah Palin for that, because I think, you know, she was damned if she did and damned if she didn't. But it's a lot of money, $150,000.
That is a lot of money, and clothes. I mean, because, you know, I mean, but see, a lot of people, you know, but see, a lot of people will look at that like, especially Democrats, they'll look at it like, okay, she's crazy, you know, because, I mean, because for some people, they don't feel that she's not in touch with the average person. The average person, you know, the average person cannot go to sex. But let me tell you something. I must be average. You know, I used to think I was average, but sex proved to me that I am average. I went in there, and I could not believe the prices. I mean, like, something like a travel bag for about $800, almost $1,000. A travel bag? No. So Sarah Palin, you know, she's talking about, you know, she's an average person. She's been through this. She understands the average person. Really? But the average person doesn't shop at Saks and Neiman Marcus. And the average person doesn't put like $4,716 on hair and makeup. I mean, maybe over time, but at one time, or what? No. She is, no. So, I mean, just that right there, I mean, like, if you were to take out, you know, the woman part of about, you know, woman being judged harder, and then just look at her as, you know, trying to be this president or vice president. No. A lot of people would, you know, would look at her like she is not on their level. Maybe the people that's on that level can relate, but a lot of people can't, because a lot of people just can't shop like that. Not enough facts.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I could come up with $150,000 worth of clothing.
What
am I
talking about?
I mean, I can't imagine that at any one given time, the average Target has, you know, for designer clothes like that, I think you could buy, like, the whole designer women's department for you and, you know, and a bunch of your friends for $150,000.
You got it right now. Now, you can best believe that for $150,000, that sounds like a lot, but you can best believe for $150,000 from between Saks and Neiman Marcus, she didn't get that many outfits, because them clothes are high. Let me tell you, she didn't get that many outfits. Mm-mm, sure didn't. So she just wasted her time.
Well, you know, and I read that where, you know, once the campaign is done, she, you know, that they're going to donate these to charity, and, you know, the rule has been passed that she can only wear these for campaigning. She's not allowed to wear them on her own time. But who wears a suit, whether male or female, on their own time? Like, do you walk around the house with a suit on?
Exactly. I'm going to miss that.
But, well, we've got 29 minutes left.
Already?
This is The Hill with Zach and Jill on XXBN. Zach, tell me about The View.
All right, The View. So all of our listeners, if you watched The View yesterday, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So everybody that didn't watch it, along with Jill, let me educate you. Okay, so Jill, so basically, you know, they started talking about the election and everything, and they were also talking about the $150,000, you know, dollar worth of wardrobe. But, you know, Elizabeth, if I'm correct, I think she used to be a contestant on Survivor or something like that, and that's how they found her. I don't know. The point is, you know, that she likes to cry a lot, and, you know, she likes to be the opposing one or whatever. So yesterday, her and you know, Joy is crazy. If y'all watch The View, Joy is like the Italian kind of lady one that's really crazy. She was, you know, they were going back and forth, and basically, you know, they were just talking about the wardrobe, and then, you know, how would Obama be in you know, as Commander in Chief, and Elizabeth had said something. Well, before I get to that, she also brought up some other points about the Republican Party. She's definitely a Republican. So she was pointing out that, you know, 68% of the United States, you know, wants McCain and Palin to win. Also, Joy had asked her, well, how do you feel, you know, since Bush has been in office? And then she had another, she actually said that she believes that the country has been safe for the last 7 years, according to Elizabeth. She said that with Bush in office, she feels that, you know, the country has been pretty safe. And then also she had stated that there was three people that felt that Obama was not ready to be commander-in-chief. And those three people that would be, of course, McCain, Palin, and then she threw in Joe Biden as well. And that was pretty interesting. Of course, Barbara Walters, you know, kind of stopped her and said, well, no, Biden hasn't said that, so you need to talk quotes, you know, what actually been said and not hearsay. But, Elizabeth said that Biden, McCain, and Palin, all three of them has voiced and said that Obama, you know, he will just be on the job training. He is not ready to run the country. So when she said that, you know, I was like, ooh, really?
And Palin is?
According to Elizabeth from The View, yes, she is. She's past ready to be vice president or president of the United States. I mean, but you know, but then Joy, she also brought some good points. I think she said some of the representatives of the Republican Party, such as I think she said George Will, Peggy Newman, and David Brooke, they kind of see Palin as a cancer. You know, they don't think she's good for the Republican Party. So that was really interesting for people. Representatives of the Republican Party, they don't, you know, they don't really agree with her tactics, you know, what she's saying. So, yeah, it's something.
You know, I think the Republicans, you know, shot themselves in the foot with this. You know, and I think this kissing ass to the conservatives, you know, it's doing the Republican Party in. You know, it's. You know, if McCain had picked a moderate, just hypothetically, say, Colin Powell, you know, which I don't even, you know, obviously Colin Powell endorsed Obama, so that probably wasn't even a possibility, but just hypothetically, someone, you know, like, say, you know, Colin Powell, a moderate, you know, that would have sucked a lot of votes away from Obama. Instead, he picked an obvious candidate who panders to pleasing the Republican Party, conservative section, you know, and I mean, Sarah Palin wants to talk like she represents, you know, the United States, but does she? I don't know how many people that I know, you know, who think that Alaska, that the world is in its last days, and that Alaska, Wasilla, Alaska, is going to be, you know, a refuge town. I don't know anyone who says, join me in praying for a $30 billion pipeline so that chemical companies and people can come together so that they can put the money towards ministering to the last 100,000 people on the planet who seek refuge in their hometown. I mean, I personally don't see that as being particularly in line with most of the country.
Exactly. I mean, you know, for some people, until Sarah Palin came along, they probably didn't even know that Alaska was part of the United States. So, I mean, no, I mean, you know, she's trying to come over here and acting like she just knows so much and ready to run this, but she's, you know, because, now, don't quote me, but somewhere, you know, they said that they was having an interview with her, and then, you know, they were asking her, well, if y'all win, you know, how are you going to, do whatever. And then, you know, she was talking about, well, you know, I'm going to be working with the Senate, and we're going to be doing this with the Senate. But as a vice president, I don't think you're supposed to be working so much with the Senate. I mean, you're the vice president, so you're supposed to be like the tiebreaker. You're supposed to be, you know, acting as the president, you know, whenever he's doing whatever, you know, you supposed to be helping him out, like being his right hand. He was talking more about working with the Senate and figuring out stuff with the Senate. I mean, people really need to think, what is she talking about? And, I mean, kind of like what you said before, Jill, and sometime I heard you say it before, you know, she's putting on, I mean, you know, she's buying all these clothes. She looks the part, okay? She looks the part. She's somewhat talking the part. But is she really what the United States needs? And it's something because, like, everybody, we all live in this country together. You know, I mean, really, at the end of the day, we really need to be on one accord because we're all living here. You know, whoever becomes president, we're all going to be under their rule or whatever. So we really need to think. And I hate to say it. I mean, I'm not telling people how to vote. I really ain't. But whenever they have all these polls and everything, and then it's saying it's time for a change, well, that's what they mean. You know, it's time for a change. And my opinion, of course, I just don't feel that McCain party is a change. I just don't. I mean, honestly, I have sat, I've watched debates, you know, I've seen what he say, but he just keeps talking in circles to me. You know, he's not really, I mean, like, when he talks, I'm not like, oh, wow, I could really benefit, you know, from what he'll try to do for the country. I don't see anything that I, as a middle-class Democrat, you know, person, would benefit from anything that McCain is saying or Palin. You know,
They're still harping on the you know, that Obama is hanging around with terrorists. You know,
oh,
obviously
God.
About William Ayers. You know, I mean, Bill Ayers. This was 30-something years ago. You know,
exactly.
I mean, Obama was 8 years old. And you know, I heard the discussion today about how it's felt that the Republican Party in Arizona has said that they feel that Obama is a Muslim socialist. I mean, socialism in Islam, there's very, very little history of the merger of those two. And you know, perhaps, you know, at some point, Gamal Abdel Nasser of Egypt or Gaddafi, you know, at some point in Libya or during the civil war in Yemen. But, I mean, they're almost making the play that, you know, this is like Al-Qaeda. And this is not. I mean, Al-Qaeda fought the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. They hate socialism and communism. As much as they hate us.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been to socialist countries. Obama, whether one believes in socialism or one does not believe in socialism, Obama is not a socialist. Obama would be to the right of a lot of parties in a lot of countries.
I mean, it's just, I don't know. I just hope and pray that the right thing happens in November because I don't care what nobody say. The last 7 years hasn't been, I don't know. I mean, Jill, would you say the last 7 years have been safe with Bush in office? How would you say
see,
safe?
I don't think it's safe. I think he made it worse. You know, I mean, first off, I'm not even sure that the government wasn't involved in 9/11. You know, certainly objectives, you know, for skyrocketing oil prices and you know, the invasion of Iraq, those all needed something like 9/11. And, you know, I'm not going so far as to say that it's a plot because, I don't know. That's still a gray area to me. I don't know. I don't know if I can fully buy into that. But I wouldn't rule it out either. But you know, let's just take it at face value and say that 9/11 was not, that the U.S. government didn't have anything to do with it.
Okay.
You know, coming at it from that angle, we had a lot of sympathy in the world after 9/11. I mean, a million people demonstrated in Tehran, Iran, for, you know, in support of the United States, and this is in Iran. And instead, the U.S. is hated. It, you know, it's like we took all that goodwill and said, screw you to the world, and invaded Iraq, saying, you know, that there's weapons of mass destruction, and we didn't find any weapons of mass destruction, and, you know, just what everybody outside of the U.S., well, not everybody, but just what a significant percentage of people outside the United States was afraid of, that once we invaded Iraq, you know, prices of oil would skyrocket, and they did. And you know, even though, you know, the price of a barrel of oil is 57% lower than it was last summer, gas is still only down, what, you know, $1 a gallon. And you can't tell me the oil companies aren't still making a ton of money.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, you know, if anything, it pisses me off to a degree that, oh, well, you know, the price of oil has dropped, you know, an enormous amount in a very short time over fear of a slowing worldwide economy, you know, and all of a sudden they're talking, you know, there's too much oil, and how did we go? I mean, you know, 6 weeks ago they were telling us we were looking at $200 a barrel oil, and you know, 6 weeks later, because the economy crashed and you know, the people that make a fortune off of oil are afraid they're going to lose their cash cow, so the prices collapse, and now we have too much oil. And yeah, I'm tired of the spin. I mean, it's total shit, you know. And you know, it's just complete shit.
It is.
And you know, I mean, this comes from having a Bush presidency. You know,
yeah.
you cannot convince me otherwise.
I mean, my thing is, you know, people, it's like everybody, they just want things to be back to normal. But Bush done made it so crazy that it's almost sort of trying to forget what is normal. I mean, it don't make any sense. I mean, it really don't make any sense. I mean, just like what you said, like just how everything has just went sky high, everything's crashing, and it's because of Bush. I mean, who can you blame? He's the one that's in the president's seat. You know, he's the president. So, I mean, like a lot of times, you know, whenever big decisions came, he just turned his head the other way, you know, and act like it wasn't anything, and now we're in a crisis. Oh, and guess what? I don't know if you heard this, Jill, but did you hear anything about a possible second stimulus check that could be coming out?
I have not.
Oh, let me tell you something. Yeah, I heard it. It's on Yahoo. Everybody look it up on Yahoo or wherever. They said there's a possible second stimulus check that supposedly Bush agreed upon, but now they're trying to go through some other, you know, the Senate or whatever to get approval. But yeah, I don't know how much it's supposed to be for, but yeah, they said before Bush leaves office, he's trying to get a second stimulus check. Well, he needs to give us a whole bunch of checks to make up for all the damages he did. And it needs to be way more than $600, trust me. I'm pretty sure he got it. That's what I got to say. I mean, you know, because a lot of people...
I don't think the country needs... I don't know that we have the money for another stimulus check.
Well, he sure don't must think we do. And see, that's another thing, too. You know, you're right. You know, it's funny how, like, they can put money here and there, but then whenever it comes to something else, they ain't got money for nothing. But then you got money to pass out. I don't know. See, whatever. It's just crazy. Oh,
you know, I mean, how much is enough? how much is enough? You know.
I don't know, Jill. You. I don't know.
You know, it's. You know, and they're still making too much. I mean, the price of a barrel of oil is down 57%, yet gas is only down a dollar. Why?
Tell them that. I don't know. I do not know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. You know.
It took the total collapse of banks and you know, the stock market down, you know, 4,000 points and for you know, the greedy oil executives to say, or whoever, you know, no matter where you are, they're, no matter what you're doing, there's always some sort of chain of command. Nothing is non-hierarchical. And so you can't tell me there's not some sort of hierarchy in the oil trading field either, you know, and somebody made the decision that you know, that they had gone too far. And I mean, where did the money all go that was in the economy? It went someplace. It went to oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
And this started with the invasion of Iraq. You know, it's...
Look how long ago that was.
You know, and how did we come to that point? You know, and to answer your question, you know, did the country, is it safer? I think we're less safe. You know, if anything, more of the world hates us. And the only way to be safer is to spool down the hatred.
Mm-hmm. And then another thing, too, I mean, I do agree with Barack Obama. I mean, I guess like the way McCain sees it is, you know, keep fighting and conquer. But sometimes, I mean, if that ain't working, maybe you do need to take another strategy. See, McCain looking at like, you know, he don't want to stop fighting because that's showing surrender or whatever. Not really. I mean, because we've been fighting for how many years? It ain't getting no better because, like you said, those people just hating us more, and then we just killing their people, they killing our people, and, I mean, I don't know. There has to be a better way because all this fighting, it just ain't working. It ain't working. You know, McCain wants to keep fighting. I mean, sometimes you got to know how to something, think of a better way than fight all the time. I mean, because all these people are killing people.
You know, the analogy to me is that Iraq draws. You know, there's all this talk that we were saving the Iraqis from Saddam. And, you know, and granted, Saddam was not a good guy. I mean Saddam was a thug, you know, who did a lot of really awful shit. But you know, but this to me is like saying to, you know, a battered woman, okay, well, you know, like this would be like a police officer saying to a battered woman, we're going to get rid of your abusive husband, but we're moving in with you, and we're going to tell you what to do all the time, and you're going to change your religion to ours, and you're going to do things our way. You know, Zach, say you're in, you know, somebody's beating you up at home. So they arrest the person that's beating you up, but they move into your house and eat all your food and tell you what you have to do all the time. You may want the abusive person to be gone, but you don't want the police to move in with you to do it.
No. No, I don't. That's kind of how I feel at work every day. I'm sorry. But I see what you're saying, though. Yeah, I definitely want the police moving there, and I do want the abusive person to be gone. So I guess it's a... Ooh, boy, that's a situation.
But, you know, if we were the good guys, we would have gotten rid of the abusive person without moving in.
That's true.
You know, but what were we doing here in the first place? I think if Bush had said to the world, okay, Saddam is a thug, and we're getting rid of him because he's a thug. you know, maybe people could have bought into that, but you know, this weapons of mass destruction, you can't fabricate the evidence, and you know, and then you've got McCain, who you know, in 2000 was, you know, selling himself as the moderate, you know, and now he brings in Sarah Palin, who you know, she might be this hockey mom, but I don't know what planet she lives on. You know, it's like her views are just very, very far away from mine and from most people I know.
Got it right. I don't know. I mean,
how can McCain make the country safer?
Thank you.
And the world safer? If you know, if he can't even pick a vice president that's right for the country. I mean, maybe Sarah Palin will be ready in a few years. But this is not the time.
She's crazy. And let me tell you something. And I think, I mean, why the world was, I mean, really, McCain told me something, you know, well, Bush is my friend, but we have different views. Okay, for one thing, yeah, y'all might be two different people, but your views isn't that far off because you're still in the Republican Party, so... You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, McCain is trying to act like he's so separate. You know, like his views are so separate than Bush. No, they're not really that separate because once the dust clears, you'll find out that Bush and McCain is one of the same. So people, and I think people need to realize, I mean, really, let's just say something did happen to McCain. You know, God forbid, not trying to put anything bad on him, but, you know, just hypothetically speaking, something happened to him. You want to have her... I mean, we want to have her, I mean, one more time, people, her running this country. I you know what, I don't think people are, Now, I'm not saying, just like you said, Jill, I'm not saying she's not, won't be ready, but I really don't think she's ready now. I really don't. I really don't. She was the governor of Alaska. Come on. Really? Alaska? She's not ready to run the United States. It takes a lot to run the United States. I mean, look, obviously it does, because Bush couldn't even do it. He had to keep asking his people that was pulling all the strings what to do next. Obviously, he didn't know what to do. I don't know how he did it for two times, but that's beside the point. But the point is, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. Now, I'm not saying that Obama is, you know, but I do think that he is ready, more ready than Sarah Palin. I mean, and then see another thing too, like sometimes the way people talk about them, they almost talk about it like it is Obama and Palin running for the president, because see, people kind of overlook McCain because he is up there, and you know, I hate to say it, but people are kind of looking like, okay, well, he might not be here too long, so let's focus more on Palin to see what she's talking about, because she might be, you know, she might be next in line, if he did get elected, you know, and then something happens, it'll be her. So, I mean, yeah, people actually are looking at Palin, and then you see her more, you know, going to all these debate or, you know, meetings or whatever they have, and more than him. He's just kind of hiding out. Well, where is McCain? It is crazy. But people need to really think, do you really want her running the United States? Come on now. Come on.
1 minute. How ready can she be? She just got a passport in 2006.
Exactly. She just got a passport. Come on now. She just got a passport. So how in the world does she really know about all the other countries? I mean, she couldn't even visit them. No. She ain't ready. She's not ready.
Well,
I would
guess that even at this point, I probably have three times as many stamps on my passport as she does.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I won't doubt it. I mean, she can take her little soccer mom and nice clothes and go put that on the runway. But for running the United States, no. We don't have time. We need somebody serious, not somebody who just stands something just so that you can get your foot in the door. And then once you're in the door, you're looking clueless. Oh,
well, you know, and then she talked about how she can see Alaska from her house. Well, you know, I can see my Latino neighbors playing in the playground from my house, but that doesn't make me an expert on Mexico.
I don't know, what is she talking about? I mean, she doesn't make any sense when she talks sometimes. What do I got to do with anything? Oh, boy. I don't know, Joe.
I mean, what do you gain by looking out the door, you know, and see if I can see, you know, something else? I mean, big deal. I can look out my window right now and I can see, you know, 100 Canadian geese.
Yeah.
I mean, from the XXN Studios window, but that doesn't make me an expert on geese.
No. So what was her point? I mean, isn't this somewhere in Tennessee you can go stand and see North Carolina and something else? Okay. So I'm confused.
Well, you know, if you live, you know, in Minnesota, you at some point in Minnesota or in Washington State or Vermont or New York or Maine, you know, there are places in, you know, all the northern frontier country states that you could see Canada. Big deal.
Right. Okay. I guess next she's going to tell us she's been to Disney World 5 times, okay?
You know what? She's been through Epcot. She's been through Epcot, so she's got foreign policy experience.
Yeah, I guess
she knows how.
Wow, really?
That's it.
I guess next she'll tell us how long it stays dark in Alaska. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, true. I mean, it's dark all winter, so she can't really see Russia from her house most of the time.
Exactly.
She can in the summer, but not, you know, I mean, I've been to Fairbanks in February. I mean, it's dark, like, all day.
She ain't right.
You know, it's 90 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
My final thoughts would be, everybody, we are very, it's getting to the, you know what, November's around the corner. All of my North Carolina people, we need to do our early votes, okay? You got time. North Carolina don't have no excuse, okay? I don't want to hear about, I had to work, I had to do this. No, they give you many days, you know what I'm saying? You need to get on the computer, figure out where you need to go to early vote. And then everybody just vote. Let's make a change for 2009. Thank you.
I am Jill Brenneman. This is XXBN. On behalf of my colleague, Zach, I want to thank you for joining Up the Hill with Zach and Jill on XXBN Raleigh-Durham. Next scheduled show is Zach's show. Zach, what is your show?
Keeping it real hot and fresh. Monday, 9 p.m.
Join us on Monday at 9 p.m. This is XXBN.